It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin passed a fetal protection law back in 1997 that's seen as one of the strictest in the nation. Wisconsin is one of just five states where pregnant people can be imprisoned on suspicion of drug use. About 400 pregnant people each year are investigated under the law. The law, known as Act 292, in effect grants many legal protections to zygotes. Phoebe Petrovic is an investigative reporter at Wisconsin Watch. I talked to her earlier today. Can you give us the basics of what this Act 292 actually does?
Yeah, so this aims to protect gestating fetuses from potential harm from drugs or alcohol. But in doing so, it deprives pregnant people of civil liberties and is considered by some the most extreme law in the country of this kind, because it allows anyone to file a complaint with the local child protective services saying that a pregnant person is using drugs or alcohol. And then that kicks off a process where ultimately the state can force a pregnant woman into treatment or civilly detain her against her will for the entire duration of her pregnancy. And if she refuses treatment, she can even end up in jail.
Talk just a bit about the origins. This is something comparable laws, though not as maybe severe, were happening in other states in the 90s. Give us a little bit of the background that led to states passing these kind of laws.
Yeah, so this really came about amid the war on drugs and this crack baby hysteria, when people thought that children born to mothers who used crack cocaine were doomed to lives of suffering, which has now been debunked. And there also was a very racist, overtly racist element to this, where we in the national media were focused on Black and brown mothers specifically, even though at the time, white folks were using crack cocaine actually more. So this law put unborn children under the auspices of the Department of Children and Families. It was a really small change with super big consequences. We're the only state to have a law like this that explicitly defines unborn children as human zygotes, embryos, and fetuses, basically from the moment of conception.
And you follow the story of a woman who's been at the center of this, including court cases, Tamara Lacher. Can you tell us a bit about her story?
Yeah. So when this all started in 2014 for her, she was 29 years old. She was a single woman. And her case really shows the extreme lengths or situations this law can put people in and the harm that it can cause. Because today she has a healthy 7 or 8 year old son who she loves, but she's still very traumatized by what happened to her. So back in 2014, she thought she might be pregnant. She went to the hospital for treatment for severe hypothyroidism and depression. One of the doctors said that it was amazing her fetus had even survived past the first trimester because she was so sick. Test results show that she was pregnant and had unconfirmed positives for some drugs. And so the hospital told the county, and they didn't let her leave the hospital. They had a court hearing while she was in the hospital where they said, you need to go to inpatient residential treatment. She was very clear that she didn't have a drug dependency. She was self-medicating for her hypothyroidism and depression, but she was here at the hospital supposed to be getting help. And she went back and forth, ended up having several court hearings, and was told throughout this that she was going to lose her child if she didn't cooperate. So she checked herself into jail instead of going through with treatment because she wanted to fight for her child. And with some lawyers, she was able to get a federal judge to say that this law was unconstitutionally vague and was voided. But that was later overturned on a technicality. And she really blames herself for that today.
Yeah, and that's an important point. It looked like this law was going to go away, ruled, as you said, unconstitutional. A very minor technicality of involving her leaving the state for a while means, if I have this right, this law, this Act 292, still in place here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's still in place today. And the interesting thing about it is that legal justification that this is unconstitutionally vague still stands. Nothing, as far as I can tell, has been changed in the law to make it less vague. And so one of the ways to change this potentially is another brave woman like Tammy coming forward, who's experiencing this and challenging it again, because that justification kind of still stands. So it could be very persuasive to a judge in the future.
Talking to Phoebe Petrovic with Wisconsin Watch, looking at her reporting on Wisconsin's fetal protection law and the impact it can have. Phoebe, one side effect of this, and you write about this, is a concern that if a woman hears about this law and is worried, that, you know, that she's had past drug use, it might deter people from going and seeking prenatal medical care.
Right. That's a huge concern for many providers of mental health care, of substance use, and of obstetrics and gynecology. And I think one really good example of this is a woman named Alicia Beltran, who tried to challenge the law prior to Tammy Leitcher. She had a Percocet dependency. She weaned herself off of it successfully using Suboxone by herself because she couldn't afford medical treatment. And when the doctor found out and found that she had tested positive for Suboxone, they wanted her to go back on it. And she ended up being detained. And so when she had a second pregnancy, her provider told me, her OBGYN told me that she totally avoided getting prenatal care for that pregnancy because she had been so traumatized by being jailed after doing the right thing and recovering.
Now, we've had Roe v. Wade overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court, bringing back Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban. Is there a concern that this is going to make this fetal protection law more active, more used in the state?
Yeah, so Tammy Leitcher's attorney, Freya Bowen, was really worried about that because, you know, it sort of depends on if someone at the hospital decides to contact social services. But theoretically, anyone who shows up at a hospital who tests positive for pregnancy and drugs or alcohol could fall under the auspices of this. And the concern is that now that women who might have terminated their pregnancies might not have that option, might not have the ability to travel out of state, it could become more routinely enforced.
How often is this act enforced here in Wisconsin? How common is it that there are reported concerns and enforcement?
Yeah, so it's hard to know exactly, and it varies county to county, but we have about 400 women a year are investigated under this law. And so that means that their reports are made and they're screened in by Child Protective Services for future or for further investigation. And when these cases end up, if they end up winding their way through the court system, that happens in juvenile court, which means that those records are protected and sealed from the public. So it's really a black box, and we don't know how many women like Alicia Beltran, like Tammy Leitcher, end up in jail because they have tried to fight this law.
Alongside your piece, Phoebe, at Wisconsin Watch, you shared some advice from experts here for women who may be facing concerns about the situation during a pregnancy. What were some of the things, the resources people shared with you?
Yeah, so one provider in particular, his name is Dr. Charles Schauberger. He said that, you know, people who are pregnant and using substances, they really should try to begin prenatal care as soon as possible because it's safer for them and their baby. They also shouldn't attempt to delay treatment or hide their pregnancy, but they should be really careful about who they get prenatal care from. Seeking out medical providers who are experienced in caring for women with substance use during pregnancy, drug treatment programs, and other women who have used drugs and had recent pregnancies might be good sources of referral if they don't know who to go to. And it's my understanding that Charles Schauberger and a couple other people are working on a database of providers who would be good, thoughtful, and not jump to calling CPS.
Phoebe, we'll leave it there. Thanks for sharing your reporting with us.
Thank you so much.
Phoebe Petrovic is an investigative reporter at Wisconsin Watch. She talks about her piece on Wisconsin's fetal protection law. You can find a link at WPR.org/Central Time.